Blog Talk Radio.
TJB Radio. Intriguing programs you want, information you need.
Welcome to the Jeff Bushman Experience. Oddly enough, I'm Jeff Bushman, and there you are. I should say, as Stephen Colbert used to say, you're not. Or who was that? Was that Chevy Chase? I don't remember, but someone used to say that about their own name, not mine, of course. Anyway, welcome to the program. It is Sunday, April 5th, 2015, when we are broadcasting this live and recording it for your listening pleasure at some later time. Today we are going to be discussing the First Amendment, the Confederate flag, a little bit of politics perhaps. We're also going to talk about the YouTube plans we have. So I want to invite you to stick around, see if you would like to join us sometime after we've uploaded some things to YouTube. And in the meantime, if you'd like to call in to discuss anything we're going to discuss or anything we've discussed in the past or politics in general, please feel free to do that, assuming you're listening live, of course. And you can do that at 347-850-8702. If you're not listening live, you can join us on a future Sunday beginning at 6:30 Eastern Time for 30 minutes, and that same guest call-in number is available to you at that time. You can also drop us a note, should you be so inclined, to TJB, as in Tijuana Brass, tjbradio@gmail.com. And that's pretty much the ways to get in touch with us, or I should say those are the ways to get in touch with us, I who am a stickler for English language. And today, as I said, we're going to discuss the First Amendment, but first I'd like to talk to you about YouTube. We are figuring out a way to do video through just general technology like a camera on our computer or perhaps on the phone, do a video of our podcast and actually do our podcast that way, pardon me, and basically migrate from the Blog Talk Radio show to YouTube on a regular basis. And I will share with you why. This is nothing against Blog Talk Radio. They have their parameters. But doing things on Blog Talk Radio, at least the way we used to on our old program, which was on goingbeyondradio.com, a late defunct internet radio site, the way we used to do the program then was half an hour of headlines and discussion, and then a half-hour interview. It's almost impossible to do an hour program on Blog Talk without spending a relatively substantial amount of money. And getting sponsors for a program like this is difficult, and people will rarely find you by accident using Blog Talk Radio's site, whereas someone can find you by happenstance on YouTube. And so that's the plan, is to migrate to YouTube. This is something people have been telling me to do for quite a while, and finally I'm listening. So the things that I'm still trying to figure out how to do, and I will figure that out in the near term, is how to make a recording of a Skype conversation. That's actually the easy part. Then upload that conversation. Once we know how to do that, we can add the interviews to the program. And as said, we can do the first part of the program, which we do now, which is just me talking. And although I hope and wish for people to be interested in listening to me talk, I find that part of the program, frankly, rather dull. I know you're nodding and saying, yes, so do we. But the fact is, interviews to me are more interesting because, frankly, I'm learning something from somebody else, and I already know what I know. The other part of it is that when we go to YouTube, since the length is not as critical a factor, that is the length of the program, we can return to adding in, besides an interview, This Week in History, which I know a lot of people find interesting, and frankly I do too, because then we can discuss what occurred on a day of historical significance, and then discuss briefly what the significance of that is to our current time. And speaking of that, I wanted to talk about something we've mentioned before on the program, but now that it's April 5th, this is more appropriate. before we do that, which is the difficulty of April, I wanted to invite you, if you care to add to my knowledge base, if you know something I don't with regard to how to do what I was talking about, which is to record a video, upload it to YouTube, and as part of that video, record a Skype conversation, whether it's video on both sides or video on one side and just audio on the other, and upload that to YouTube as well, hopefully as part of the program as a whole. Once we do that, once we get to the point where we can do that, we're going to do a once-a-week program on YouTube. We'll create a channel, and that will be available, and we will, of course, continue doing a show on Blog Talk Radio even after we move, but migrate. But that program will probably be 15 minutes and will be a snippet of what the YouTube program will be and will be also a way of finding out what the program is going to be about, should someone be interested in finding us on Blog Talk. As I said, just to get like a preview, and then you can go to YouTube with the information found in that Blog Talk program. Anyway, if you know how to do any of those things and want to share that information with me, it would be greatly appreciated. Again, the email address, which I don't check that often, so please be patient for a thank you, is tjbradio@gmail.com. Okay, I mentioned April, and I find it interesting, although I'm not sure how significant it is, of three American leaders' deaths in the month of April, historically. By now, everybody knows who listens to radio, watches TV, or happens to pass by a newspaper rack. April 4th, which was yesterday as we're broadcasting on April 5th, April 4th was the day in 1968 on which Martin Luther King was killed. And I remember that day. I am old enough to, although I was a teenager when that occurred, I'm old enough to remember when Martin Luther King was assassinated. I was actually riding a motorcycle up Woodman Avenue, as I recall, in Van Nuys, when a guy who I knew drove up next to me in his car, and he told me Martin Luther King had just been shot. In any event, that was April 4th, 1968. Also, in April 12th, was the day on which in Warm Springs, Georgia, and by now you probably know, it was the day that Franklin Roosevelt died of a cerebral hemorrhage. He had been in office since March of 1933. He died on April 12, 1945, just prior to the end of World War II. He had seen the country through the Depression and World War II almost entirely and died just prior to the conclusion of the war, on April 12th, 1945. I will tell you as well, when he died, I don't recall his age, but it was something like 62, 63. And if you look at the pictures of him in the year or two before his death, it isn't surprising how close he was to death. The man looked horrible. Now we think, unless you're 12, in which case you think anything over 40 is old, but now we tend to think of people in their 60s as fairly vital and vibrant. I know I do. Anyway, but the thing is that that age, besides the fact it was generally thought of as being older than it is now, the fact is he looked like he was 80 by our current standards. So that's that date. And 2 days later, April 14th, is the day on which Abraham Lincoln was assassinated. That was April 14th, 1865. Roosevelt was 1945. I don't know if the five is of significance, but I mean, from whatever aspect, astrologically, historically, cosmologically, whatever you want to call it, certainly not cosmetically. But April 14th was the day on which Lincoln was shot. He died the next day on April 15th, which is now our tax deadline. I'm not sure if that's of significance at all, but there you are. April 5th. By the way, April 15th was not always our tax deadline. It used to be March 15th, which was also not a great day for Julius Caesar. But anyway, that's that. So April 15th is the day Lincoln died and is the day that many of us die financially when we file our income tax returns. Okay, in the remaining minutes, that's another issue. Half an hour is not long enough to talk about much. We're going to talk about the First Amendment. Let me start out by reading it after I give you our phone number in case you'd like to join us at 347-850-8702. First Amendment reads as follows: Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. That's about three lines as I have it printed out, and it's an enormously comprehensive amendment. They're talking about freedom of the press, freedom of religion, freedom of assembly, freedom of speech. And it's that last one, although it's not mentioned last in the amendment, but it's the last one I've mentioned now that we're going to discuss because of something that was in the news recently. freedom of speech. First off, it says Congress shall make no law abridging, limiting, etc., which is not true. There are some appropriate limitations, but that was extended to state government and therefore local government by the adoption of and extension of the 14th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution later. That's one of the Civil War amendments. I'm not going to go into that one now, but the First Amendment means that essentially that neither Congress nor any state government shall make any law respecting the establishment of religion, prohibiting the free exercise of religion, abridging freedom of speech or of the press or assembly, or the right to petition the government for redress of grievances. Okay, let's talk about freedom of speech. Freedom of speech does not apply in any fashion, for example, in places where a lot of people think it does. Let me give you an example. In a lot of businesses today, managers or employers will say to their employees, please, it is against company policy for you to discuss your salary, your income, with other members of the staff. And someone will get very upset about that, and you may think that's right or wrong. That's really not the issue at present. You may think that's right or wrong, but it is not an abridgment of your freedom of speech. Freedom of speech only relates as far as the Constitution is concerned. It may, in fact, be an abridgment of your freedom of speech in an absolute sense, but it's not contrary to the Constitution. The Constitution doesn't say everyone shall have freedom of speech. It says Congress and state government shall make no law limiting your freedom of speech. What an employer does, it does not affect your freedom of speech. That's just in terms of the constitutional prohibition. It's just she or he is saying, don't talk about this with your fellow employees. And if you do, by the way, after that is known to be policy, they are perfectly legitimate in firing you. Again, you may not like that. You may think that's horrible, but that is the nature of the law. They can legitimately dismiss you for violating the policy that says you shouldn't talk about your salary to other people. But let's talk about it from another aspect. This was the part that was in the news, and no, we're not talking about Indiana today. But in Texas, like most states, they have what are, first of all, vanity license plates. We're mostly familiar with them where, for example, some jerk decides to get a license plate that says Super Stud. Okay? Most states have the ability to do that, although that particular one may be one they don't want to issue. But all states have these vanity license plates, Super Stud or Short Stuff or, you know, anything that you want a license plate to say that isn't suggestive. But there are also these specialty license plates. For example, we have in Arizona a license plate that says it shouldn't hurt to be a child, another one that promotes pet adoption, another one that promotes religion. There's all kinds of stuff. Another one that supports veterans' causes, all kinds of things. And many states have these. It's a way of the state raising revenue. Okay, and the way those plates generally come about is either a state government employee comes up with this idea, then they promote it through the Department of Motor Vehicles and people buy them, or some group comes along and says, you know, we would like to get issued a specialty license plate that says it shouldn't hurt to be a child, for example. And the state considers it, they decide whether to issue it or not, and if they do, then everybody moves forward. But they have the option of saying no. In Texas, there was a group of people who wanted to get a specialty license that contained the Confederate flag. Now, the state of Texas, for whatever reason, decided they didn't want to do that. And the people in Texas who originally wanted that said, wait a minute, that's a constitutional violation of our freedom of speech. We want the same right to get a Confederate flag license plate issued as the people who are getting license plates issued for other reasons. Well, the state said no, and there was some possibility discussed of those folks suing the state of Texas on the basis that I just mentioned, an unconstitutional prohibition of the freedom of speech. And the response that a lot of people, I include myself, have to that is, that's a bunch of nonsensical crap. The bottom line reality, a phrase I'm overly fond of using, is that a state choosing to not issue a license plate with a Confederate flag after someone has asked for it is not a violation of the requester's freedom of speech. Those people have the absolute right, under the First Amendment, to fly a Confederate flag from their radio antenna on their car. They have the absolute right, assuming it doesn't obstruct vision, to put a Confederate flag decal on their window. You or I may think that's a bad idea for any one of a number of reasons, but that's really beside the point. That's my opinion. My opinion doesn't matter when it comes to your freedom of speech. You have the right to do it, okay? But to say that the state is violating my right to free speech because they don't issue a specialty license plate that I want, that's crazy. They're not making a law. Again, remember what the First Amendment says. It says that the government, let's be broadly inclusive, the government has no right to pass a law that limits my freedom of speech, nor do they have the right, inferentially, to use an existing law that does not necessarily directly infringe upon my speech, but to use it to infringe upon my freedom of speech. The government can't do that. So although the government can do something to limit my right to incite a riot, because that's not really my freedom of speech, except in a very limited sense, or more correctly, it has been determined that the right of people to be free from being trampled, for example, is more important than my right, so-called, to stand up in a theater and shout fire when there isn't one. That may be freedom of speech, but it's not freedom of political speech. That's basically what they're talking about, and to some extent commercial speech. So there is no right, as the old expression goes, to shout fire in a crowded theater, assuming it's not on fire, because the right to not be trampled to death trumps my right to do that. But when it comes to requesting what amounts to a ministerial or administrative choice on the part of a state such as Texas on whether or not they issue a specialty license plate, that's not affecting your freedom of speech. You can still shout from the rooftops if you want that the Confederate flag is great, the South shall rise again, if you want to say you favor slavery, although you're going to sound like an idiot and could get killed. That's your right. What you cannot do is require a state to, under the constitutional prohibition against restrictions on free speech, to issue a specialty license plate that you happen to agree with. All right? And speaking of agreeing with something, if you don't agree with me, you're welcome to give us a call. We have about 10 minutes remaining. The phone number is 347-850-8702. You are probably, or perhaps, asking yourself why it is we get so few calls. And there's besides the fact that, it maybe nobody likes us, but there's another reason that's more profound, I think, I hope, and that is very few people listen live to the program. On any radio talk show, regardless of the kind it is, a very small percentage of the people who listen to a program call in. And when you have, and that doesn't matter, it could be Diane Rehm, Rush Limbaugh, Ed Schultz, Stephanie Miller, Sean Hannity, a very small percentage of their listeners ever call in to the show, ever. And obviously we don't have their numbers of people from which to choose. But here, when you're talking about a podcast, it's even a smaller number because although we have a decent listenership overall, but it could always be more decent, tell a friend. But anyway, although we have a decent listenership overall, the number of people who listen to the program when it's being aired live is relatively minuscule. The greatest number of people who listen at all, listen in podcast form. So that's why we don't get a lot of phone calls. So if you are listening in podcast form and would like to express yourself, or express mother's milk, it's really up to you. But if you'd like to express yourself, you can do that by email Again, tjbradio@gmail.com. Or you can listen live next week and call in at that phone number that we gave out, 347-850-8702. Okay, enough said about that. We talked about the First Amendment, and because we do have some time, let us talk about, what amendment would be good as a choice after the First Amendment? Glass? What's that, second? Okay, let's go to the second. All right. It has been suggested that we go to the Second Amendment. We won't have time to go over all of it, of course, because the Second Amendment is rather controversial in some ways. By the way, going back to the First Amendment, and we may come back to that, although we covered the freedom of speech issue because that was somewhat newsworthy, we are going to come back to it in order to discuss things related to religion, okay? But that's not for this week, because discussing religion is always so much fun, and everybody agrees with me on every part of anything I think about religion. Let's go to the Second Amendment. Let me read the Second Amendment. This is even shorter than the First Amendment. And it says, "A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed." Okay? Now, the Supreme Court of the United States has ruled that this means that you as an individual have the right to own rifles and shotguns and all kinds of other guns, and probably, depending on if there are ever any limitations on it, machine guns. But the important thrust of the recent Supreme Court decisions has been that you have the right to own weaponry, firearms, and that the Second Amendment says you can. Now, I would like to suggest respectfully that while I think it should be your right to own guns if you want to, not everybody who agrees with me on other things agrees with me on that, by the way. Many liberals believe, many progressives believe that A, we shouldn't have guns at all, and unless we're police officers, and B, if we do, they should be regulated like an automobile, at least. That is, get lessons where you can pass a test showing you know how to use a firearm, and B, get insurance for any damage you may do accidentally to anybody else with your firearm. I have some sympathy for the second position. The first one I'm not so sure about because I'm not so sure I want government to know who owns guns. But the second one I do have some sympathy for, the idea that if you're going to have a firearm, you should be required to have insurance to protect people that may suffer as a result of your accidental conduct, unintentional conduct. Okay, but that's a different issue. The issue now is, does the Second Amendment say what the Supreme Court said it says, and what a lot of people believe it means? Okay. Brief explanation here. When it comes to interpreting laws, and the same thing would be true of the Constitution, there's something called the plain meaning principle, which is if I can, not I, but if a reasonable person, which certainly I'm not, can relatively easily understand what a statute, or in this case a constitutional provision, means, then you take it by its plain meaning. You don't try to find out what they meant, how they felt that day. The people who pass this, if the language is clear, then go with the language. All right. If it isn't, by the way, then you go into other things. And one of the areas where that commonly happens is going back to the First Amendment relative to church and state, so-called. By the way, I wanted to also mention, in the Second Amendment, they talk about the security of a free state. They are not, in this case, specifically talking about states of the United States. They are talking about state as what we would recognize as a country, the political subdivision of the world that's known as a state. When we talk about the United Nations, for example, they very rarely talk about member countries. They talk about member states. The United States is a state, just as Russia is a state, the Ukraine is a state, Israel is a state. That refers to the geopolitical meaning of the word state. In the United States and in Mexico, among others, within that geopolitical state, there are political subdivisions, sometimes called states, like the state of California, the state of Illinois, the state of confusion. Oh, no, that's something else. Okay, but you have those. But the United States is considered a member state of the United Nations and certain other organizations. So they're talking about the country, the security of the country. But going back to plain meaning, there is at the beginning of the Second Amendment the following phrase. It would sound much better if I read it in English. A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, and it goes on, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. What that says, in fairly plain English, is that the reason that the right of people to keep and bear arms should not be infringed is because a well-regulated militia is necessary to the security of the United States. Now, if you read that phrase, a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, in some other way, please tell me. People have said all kinds of things about, no, we have a right to guns, we have a right to have as powerful guns as we want, as many guns as we want. I think there's an argument for that for other reasons, the Tenth Amendment not least among them, but not the Second Amendment. The Second Amendment says very clearly that the reason for the right to keep and bear arms is because we need a well-regulated militia. We need a well-regulated militia in order to secure the freedom and liberty of the United States. Those are very important goals. There's no getting around it. We need to have a secure country, and we need to have a free country. So, and because of that, the founders, the creators of the Constitution, and specifically the Bill of Rights, not least among them James Madison, said that because of that need, you need a well-regulated militia, and you need to be able to keep and bear arms because of the need for that militia. What's a militia? Well, a militia is a lot of things, but most people have taken that to mean the successor to the state militias that existed at the beginning of our country. At the beginning of our country, at least right after the Constitution, each state had its own little military, its state militia, and those have morphed or evolved into the National Guard. The National Guard is largely a group of 50 state militias. It is the National Guard, for example, that if we have a flood or an earthquake or a major fire, goes out to the site to help maintain order and try to get relief supplies in there. The governor is the one who normally calls out the National Guard. Now, there are times when the President of the United States has the right to and does do something called nationalizing the National Guard, in which case those folks can be used for other purposes. We, more in very recent times, have seen a nationalization of the National Guard to increase the number of military personnel who have gone to Iraq and Afghanistan. But largely, the state militias have morphed into the National Guard in each state. And arguably, they are, in fact, well-armed, and therefore we don't need individuals to be armed under what some people misperceive as the basic meaning of the Second Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. We'll talk about that a little more next week. In the meantime, and I'm not sure whether we'll talk about it on Blog Talk or on YouTube, but we'll let you know next week. Please be kind to each other, be very careful, and although you're going away mad, as you listen to our closing theme, although you're going away, please don't go away mad. Have a good week. See you next time.